Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped the 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef, Smith. Roquan Smith, he's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClary, he's got great one, two. He made it. He got it. Steamboat's playing weapon. McClary has done it. McClary has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. On Snapchat, Snap J Hood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will give you a follow back guaranteed. We'll hear from Bobby Marks, the front office insider for ESPN, coming up at 9:35. Also, we'll hear from Will Perdue in a matter of moments here from NBC Sports Chicago. The four-time NBA champion in front of the program will be with us here on ESPN 1000 to talk about what the Bulls did and what the Bulls did not do. We'll get to that coming up in a matter of moments. By the way, caller number three, caller number six, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you want to go, I got your hookup for the Progressive International Motorcycle Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. See the latest model from the top power sports manufacturers. For tickets and details, visit motorcycleshows.com. All kids 11 and under are free. It's going to take place between February 15th and the 17th. If you want to go, it's my way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood Weeknights here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Caller 3, caller 6. If you want to go, or if you want to win these for someone else, call now. 312-332-ESPN on our regular line. So glad you're with us here on this Thursday night. It's our NBA trade deadline special, talking about the Bulls. And as I mentioned before, I had no problem with the Otto Porter deal, as he is now with the Chicago Bulls. My question was, now, what is the next step for the Bulls? What is the outlook for the Bulls? I don't know why John Paxson on the flagship station feels like the media and fans are ganging up on him, like it's an interrogation, as he said earlier today in that interview when he's interviewed. Here's the bottom line. Bottom line is that the underachievement from the Bulls is not good enough, has not been good enough for a long time here. And I understand that everybody's not blessed with the opportunity to win an NBA championship. It's about dynasties. But the Bulls and the way that they've gone about their business is old school. It's mom and pop. And it's not fair for those that go to United Center or to invest time in watching this Bulls team. It's not good enough. You can have all the excuses you want. You can talk about injuries and all these other things. But the bottom line is the issue with the Chicago Bulls is perception. Perception is the issue with this Chicago Bulls team. The perception of, well, we can't get quality free agents. And, no, well, we got to be able to kind of build slowly in this long, slow process. No slow, long process. That's not how the NBA works today. That's not how it works. Now it works. You get it through the draft and you get it through free agency. That's how you build your team. And you just don't go about it at a glacier pace. You've got to be able to be more aggressive and be a team that free agents and agents want their players to be at. But here's the thing. I've said this a lot here. The Bulls need to find their Theo Epstein. They got to find him. Because if you don't find your Theo Epstein, then the second verse, same as the first. It's always going to be the same. And so to me, to have a fresh set of eyes with the Bulls, if you're Michael Reinsdorf, is something that's got to happen right now for your organization, because the Bulls don't deserve a second, third, fourth rebuild at this thing. Why does this organization need to have a third and fourth rebuild? That doesn't make any sense to me. So if you are going to do the same thing over and over again, then you're going to get the same results. It's about time to have a fresh set of eyes in that organization, a different perception, because Paxton has an issue with the perception from the media and those that look at the organization. Well, who makes that perception? Gar Paxton, Michael Reinsdorf, right? Michael Reinsdorf should be ashamed of himself on how this has gone about. This is his doing, because he is the face of this thing now. So it's got to change. As you are listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad you're with us. Earlier, I got a chance to talk to a four-time NBA champion, also part of NBC Sports Chicago, who talks about the Bulls with Mark Schanowski and Kendall Gill. It is good old number 32, Will Perdue, and he's with me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I asked Will, what was his instant reaction to the Otto Porter Jr. trade?
Well, quite honestly, I was stunned. I thought Bobby Portis was somebody that was going to be a part of this team's future. I think he's got starter talent, but I think he's better suited because of his ability to score in bunches, to come off the bench. And a guy that, quite honestly, since the day he's been here, and we can sit here and talk about the Niko Mirotić incident, but, to me, since he's been here, he's done everything right. He's continually gotten better. He's worked on his game. And the fact that he was actually included in this trade really surprised me. But at the end of the day, it told me that, hey, what he wants in the future and what he's going to ask in a free agent deal is not something that we're willing to pay. So not only are we going to try to get something from Jabari, should we say the Jabari project that didn't work, we feel like if we can throw Bobby Portis in this deal, that'll seal the deal with Otto Porter, who is a player that I like coming back from Washington.
If it is about development, Will, I just thought there was a lot of start and stop with Bobby. And I liked talking to Bobby personally. I just thought that he was a good guy. And if he was just able to maximize his minutes even more so, he could have really been a good, solid rotation player. How do you classify his time with Chicago?
Well, I feel like he was a guy that took advantage of the situation. He worked hard off the floor. I thought he got better. Unfortunately for him this year, he got derailed by injuries. Now, we don't know what's going to happen from this point till the end of the season. But, prior to getting traded, he had a 30-point game, a 20-point game. He was finally healthy. And, I looked at him, and I'm not saying he's Manu Ginobili, don't get me wrong, but I looked at him as a Manu Ginobili type, a guy that, if he accepts his role, regardless of what he's being paid, and that's as a sixth man, he could play 14, 15 years in the league. And as we all know with how contracts are structured, if he gets sixth man of the year, he gets a $100,000 bonus or $150,000 bonus, however they do it. He was going to get paid plenty. But I just felt that he, did a nice job. He got off to a slow start. But because of the time he put in, he continued to work on his game and he continued to get better. And it's interesting that you put it that way, Jonathan, because I kind of always wondered, is he a starter? Is he a guy coming off the bench? Because he had played well in both roles and at times had played poorly in both roles. So, you could honestly say maybe he's a tweener, and he probably is one of those guys that falls on the metric charts as, if he plays so many minutes, he always is on the plus side, and if he plays too many minutes, he's on the negative side. Time will tell where that falls.
Will Perdue with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Now that the trade took place, Will, with Jabari Parker, was the signing really necessary? I mean, from day one, there was a chip on his shoulder, and I understand he went through some injuries and really wanted to prove himself. But it just, from a PR standpoint, saying that what you're not going to do when it comes to defense was a negative out of the box. But two, now I look back at it and say, well, what was that? I'm not even sure how to describe the Jabari Parker era with the Bulls.
Well, I think it was, okay, we got some extra money here. We haven't been able to pick up a free agent or two that we thought maybe we were in the running for. Here's Jabari, who's now been released by Milwaukee. He's a local kid. It could possibly be a win-win. But what I didn't understand was the money involved with the contract. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I was told by good sources, people that know a lot more than I do and people that I trust, that the Bulls were kind of bidding against themselves. And when you saw the two-year, $40 million deal with the second year, obviously, is the Bulls' options, it means that, hey, it's a tryout for him. It's a tryout for the Bulls. Let's see if you fit. Let's give this guy a chance to prove that he can play again. Because we all knew from the very beginning, if he plays really well, that's a bonus for the Bulls because they got him under contract. But if he doesn't play well, they can release him. But, you know, unfortunately, they were hoping that he could play the three. He proved that he can't. He's got to be, you know, a stretch four. But he had problems, you know, with his defensive, shall we say, effort. And I think, unfortunately, he let the cat out of the bag when he said, hey, man, you don't get paid for playing defense in this league. And there's actually some truth to the statement, but you don't publicly say that because for the rest of the time that he was here, he was marked as a poor defender. Now, there were times where his defense was actually halfway decent. But for the most part, you know, he was more concerned about what he wanted to do on the offensive end. He wasn't a good fit. And unfortunately for him and the Bulls, instead of being a win-win, it was a lose-lose. And at the end of the day, they ended up getting something for him and not having to just release him and totally taking all the blame.
We could say this for any team that's not going to be in the playoffs this year, Will. But I just – my whole thing with the Bulls is what we've talked about for years. Just tell me what the direction is so I can be on board. That's all I want to know is what are you trying to accomplish? Because in marketing and business, in sports, you have to be able to identify, you know, in marketing, it's got to be five words. How do you describe your team? How do you describe your business in five words? So that way people understand what you are. With the Bulls, with this move with Otto Porter, this tells me that almost half your salary cap here, about 48% of it, is tied into Zach LaVine and for Otto Porter. Okay, that's fine. But I just need to know, are you going back to young and athletic? Are you saying that the top three or top four in the draft is not important because you made this move? Because Porter's going to play, and these guys are going to go for it here. I don't see the Bulls being able to get a top three, four pick. You're not really in the mix for free agency this year or next year, but I guess Porter's here. So the thing is confusing to me is if what they're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to develop young players, or do you feel like in a year or so you'll be a top eight team in the East? That's where I have a disconnect with what they're trying to do.
Well, the first thing, or should I say the first message that's sent to me, Jonathan, was okay, we're technically going to look at this as our free agent signing. Mm-hmm. And the Bulls were asked today in the press conference earlier this afternoon in a roundabout way about this. And they never said that, hey, we don't feel like we're in the running for big-name free agents. They said, we're in the running for free agents, but we felt like a 3-and-D guy that could help us, and it's only a 2-year contract. I agree, and I disagree. I think he's somebody that can help this team. In my opinion, he immediately becomes their best perimeter defender. That helps this team. But as you just mentioned, what does this do as far as wins and losses for this upcoming year? What does it do for their record? And how does it affect where they land as far as draft pecking order? Now, we all know the top three, in this case, the three teams with the worst record, all have the same percentage for getting the number one pick. Then the fourth is almost the same as the top three. So I think even if you finish in the bottom five or six, you still got to feel pretty good about your chances of getting the number one pick. One of the things we did was we applauded when they made the trade for Jimmy Butler and Zach LaVine because of the fact that we, as you just mentioned, we now have a direction. We're going younger. We're going athletic. And as they continue to use even today, we're rebuilding. Even today, they mentioned, hey, we're a year and a half in the rebuild. I'm on board with that. But at the same time, all of a sudden you saw that Morgan Markkanen is a lot better than what we thought he was. Mm-hmm. And if everything went well this year, possibly they could be the eighth seed and sneak into the playoffs, which would be amazing. I don't know if we truly expected that, but we're like best case scenario. But I feel like because of the Jabari deal, because of the fact now that they traded Portis, the fact that there's so much salary locked up in the Otto Porter, I think it's kind of muddied the waters a little bit. And I agree with you. They're still talking like we're in rebuild mode. But my biggest question is, how long are we in this mode before we can start to set expectations for this team?
Yeah, I don't want the Bulls to be playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, meaning that I'll give you an example with the Knicks. Now, I know that they've had their issues as an organization of trying to build something, and they have not won a championship since 1973. What I'm saying is that at least they put their testicular fortitude out there. It did something I've never seen before, and that was, okay, we're just going to trade an asset for cap space. And major cap space. I haven't seen that before, especially for someone in their rookie deal like Porzingis. But I don't want the Bulls to stand still, Will, and not get better. And the Knicks are able to lock in one max player who could be Kyrie, could be Kevin Durant, who knows, and another player. And all of a sudden, the Knicks pass up the Bulls. You know what I mean? I don't want that to happen. I want the Bulls to incrementally get better, get in position to get in the playoffs. And I don't want them to be stuck holding the bag while other teams are trying to get younger and better.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And let me say this about Otto Porter. And this is a big if. If he can stay healthy, mm-hmm. I think it's a move in the right direction. But that's a big if, because we really don't know what we have here, because he played with two ball-dominant players in Bradley Beal and John Wall. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to step right in and go from averaging basically 13 points a game to 20, because we've seen that Zach LaVine needs touches. Lauri Markkanen needs touches. So it's going to take some time for him to fit in. But the biggest thing that we're talking about is the almost $56 million in salary he'll make over the next 2 years kind of, limits what the Bulls can do, as you just mentioned, in the free agency race. The one thing that the Knicks have done is they've freed up enough money to possibly bring in two max players. And as you mentioned, Kevin Durant, who we've all heard the latest is, he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but unfortunately he put himself in the position by signing a one-year deal, possibly Kyrie Irving, possibly, AD from the Pels. But they put them in that position to where even the fan base, you could tell, is excited by, okay, who knows what's going to happen this year. Seems like with the Bulls, with this Otto Porter thing, as I said at the beginning of this interview, I feel like he makes this team better. But how much better does he make this team considering his salary? That I don't have the answer for, because you start to ask yourself, is this trade really put the Bulls in a position where they get significantly better or a little better?
Will Perdue with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let me go around the league with you. A move that the Bucks made. The Bucks have the best one-loss record in the NBA, and they are able to pick up Nikola Mirotic. You and I both know that he's gotten so much better, a guy that can knock down threes, averaging about three or four threes a game, and a team that loves to be able to shoot from the outside. I think that Mirotic is a win for the Bucks to solidify themselves as the top team or one of the top teams in the East.
Well, there's no doubt it's a win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They got better today. But the one thing that they don't have significant, should we say, experience in is the playoffs. Do they have playoff experience? Yes. But when you look on paper, they might be the best team in the East at the moment when you consider how they're playing. But in a seven-game series, not a one-game series, in a seven-game series, can they beat the Toronto Raptors? Can they beat the Philadelphia 76ers? Can they beat the Boston Celtics, even though the Celtics are, like a roller coaster right now? They're up, they're down, but they have that experience, and you have a belief that once the playoffs start, the Celtics are going to be a different team. So I still feel like the East is wide open, but I don't think it necessarily means that just because Milwaukee currently has the best record and they've made this trade, that makes them the top team in the East. It makes them one of the top teams. But of the four teams I mentioned, I'm not willing to put all my money on one team, because now the next thing is, with Nico. How does he fit, and how do they put him into the system, and how quickly does he adapt to become a positive influence on this team?
So you're really big on chemistry over the years after talking to you. So you probably feel the same way about Toronto, right? So Valanciunas has been with Toronto for such a long time. But now, in my eyes, you've upgraded with a veteran like Marc Gasol, longtime guy with Memphis, now with Toronto. What did you think of that move, and how much does that make Toronto better in the painted area?
Well, I think, he's a better version of Valanciunas. He's a better passer. He obviously is a better shooter. What has he already shot, 200-and-some threes this year? He can extend the defense. And I think he's just – they upgraded. But the interesting thing is just – you mentioned chess and checkers. It's like all these teams in the East are playing chess against each other. Oh, you made that trade? Okay, I'm going to make this trade. Oh, they made that trade? All right, we're going to make a trade. I mean, it tells you what people think about the East, that it's wide open. So I thought there were a lot of knee-jerk reactions. I thought there were reactions made off what other teams were doing. And the question is, who ends up getting the best return for their investment?
And the answer is the Celtics. They're watching the chess match. And they're standing there watching the two guys playing chess. They didn't do anything. They didn't have to. They already have a solid team.
Well, and they have a solid team. They have the guy that everybody really wants in Tatum in this offseason to pick up that big name free agent. But at the same time, they've also got a guy in the name of Kyrie Irving who has proven he can hit big shots. And you believe that when you watch this team play, whether they win or lose, that they'll figure it out. That when the playoffs start, they're not as good as Golden State. They're not like Cleveland was in the past where they'll just flip a switch. But they've got enough veterans. Everybody's seen what Brad Stevens can do. You just feel like they'll still be the team to beat in the East, even though they won't have the best regular season record.
Do you like what Philadelphia looks like now? Because this is the starting lineup: Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris comes over, and Joel Embiid. Now, where's that five amongst the hierarchy in the East?
Well, when you talk about where's that five, that might be the best starting five in the East. Mm-hmm. But can those five guys play 48 minutes? You know, the problem is now, what do they lack? Depth. All right, so I have a feeling they're going to be huge on the buyout market. As guys continue to get bought out, they're going to be searching to try to really increase the depth they have on that bench. Listen, Jonathan, you and I both know when the postseason starts, you need eight strong, not five strong, not six strong. You need eight strong, some on a given night, nine strong, depending on matchups. You know, on paper, those five look great. But the question is, again, in a seven-game series, as teams start to adapt and teams start to develop what their strengths are from a defensive standpoint, if you've only got five guys, it's going to be very difficult, and you're requiring a lot from those five guys. And as good as Joel Embiid is, I'll ask you, would you feel comfortable playing him 42, 43 minutes a night?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because the first thing I'm concerned with is foul trouble early. Secondly, I know that he has the gas tank. I just need him over to a number of amount of games in the playoffs for him to help me. But for that long a time a game, I don't think he has that in him.
Well, he's never actually been in that position. I know mentally he knows he can do it. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is, I, as a former player, guys have played a lot more minutes than I, there is times when you step on the floor and mentally you know exactly what you have to do and what you want to do. But your body says, ain't happening.
Yeah, well, all I know is that 18-year-old Will Perdue would have been about a 30% shooter from three, going back in the Wayback Machine. I would have loved to see a 17-year-old Will Perdue in 2019 knocking down threes for Vanderbilt.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's just guys that play and understand the game, they can adapt. And a perfect example is Brook Lopez. Look what he's done. I mean, when he came into the league, I compared him to Kevin McHale, an up-and-under guy, back-to-the-basket, old-school type player, pick-and-pop, but pick-and-pop from 15 to 18 feet. Now the guy's pretty much a three-point shooter. He doesn't step foot inside the lane. I was very fortunate to work with those guys with Wasserman Media Group coming out of college. And the one thing I used to talk about was, man, just focus on rebounding, focus on defense. I send them sometimes a message being like, dude, I understand you just had 21 and you went 6 of 7 from three, but you only had 3 rebounds. Come on, you're bigger than that. You can do better than that. You got a 6'2" guard that's out rebounding you in averages per game.
I wish the Bulls were a little better because you got 2 bigs, by the way, that are available. Like Lopez is solid for the Bulls, but you've seen this, right? That Enes Kanter and Marcin Gortat are available. They were both waived today. Yeah, stick up for your bigs there.
Yeah, you do, and this is something that I think that Robin is in an awkward situation mm-hmm. because I think moving forward, there's a possibility that the Bulls are probably do what they did last year. When Porter comes in, he's going to start playing immediately, as you and I have already talked about in this interview. And that means that I think you're going to see Lauri Markkanen playing a lot more of the five. The Bulls are going to go smaller. I think you're going to start seeing, Lopez is going to end up being, a healthy DNPCD, and that's unfortunate. But the one thing I told him is and he understands this, and I've talked to him about it a couple times. All that's doing is extending your career, meaning that's one less game you're playing this year, means that's one less game you can play in the future. Because regardless of what people say, and I just mentioned his brother, Brooke, being a three-point shooter, you still need guys in the paint that can be a threat. So like when he comes out against New Orleans and gets 8 quick points in the first quarter, that changes your opponent's defensive attack because they can't just continue to give points up in the paint. And that opens things up on the perimeter. Yes, it's now more a perimeter-oriented game, but you still have to have guys that can score in the paint. He's proven he can do that. And as I told him, even when this contract is up, will you ever make $16 million a year as a player? Probably never again. But that doesn't mean you won't sign 2 more contracts, equivalent of 4 years to where maybe you're making $7 or $8 million a year like Felicio is making now. And over the next 4 years, you make $32 million and then you retire.
Well, here's hoping that the arrow's pointing up because this is no fun. Yeah, you should get battle pay at NBC Sports Chicago. This is not fun. It's not.
And, every night we're trying to find positive things that's going on. And just to that point, Lauri Markkanen has finally started to be the Lauri Markkanen that we expected from last year. We could, you can't predict the injury, which he had, and you were curious if he was playing hurt because you weren't seeing the results that we had hoped once he came back. But now you're starting to see that aggression come back. Now you're starting to see, him attack the basket a little more. But I think, I would love to see him work on his post-up game. In my opinion, he shoots too many threes. And he relies too much on that perimeter game. But that, in my opinion, also comes with time. We always joke. We always saw those pictures in the offseason, of him flexing with the big biceps, and he was getting bigger, and he put on 16 pounds of muscle. But I would really like to see him down in the paint occasionally knocking guys on their keister and using that 16 pounds of muscle to his and the Bulls' advantage.
Will, as always, I appreciate your time. And that's right, folks. You heard it here first. Will Perdue predicting that because the Lakers are holding the bag, Carmelo Anthony will be coming to the Lakers very soon. So, after all this, after LeBron and company are thinking about, you just kind of just trade the entire team, the whole left side of the menu for Anthony Davis, nothing happens. And so that's what's going to happen. Will's saying it right now, everybody, that Carmelo Anthony is going to be a Laker. That'll be the move that Lakers make.
Let's put it this way. If that's what they do, then we know that LeBron's calling the shots.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for real.
And then basically, Rob Pelinka and Magic are his bag men.
What a mess. Wait, by the way, as I let you go, how would you like to be a Los Angeles Laker? How would you like to be a teammate of LeBron knowing that everybody, and by the way, the Pelicans played this perfectly. They played it perfectly because it exposed the Lakers in so many ways, Will. Everybody was available, and it was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski and those in the know. Everybody was available. How would you like to be a Laker knowing that LeBron is willing to trade you and you and you and you just to get Anthony Davis on the team?
Well, basically, what you learned is he's a ruthless SOB that he wants to win another championship. Even though he didn't say that today, And he was very politically correct when he was asked those questions at the shoot-around this morning because they play the Celtics tonight. Remember what he always said he was chasing from this point forward? Michael Jordan and the Ghost, correct?
Right.
So, you know, don't tell me that you got everything you need, because we all know that you really want more championships because of who you'll always be compared to.
It's something.
Well, and let me finish you. Did you see the picture from, I don't think it was last night's game. I think it was Tuesday's game, where he was sitting at the end of the bench and there were three or four seats empty before it was the next teammate?
Yes, I did see that. Yes. Very so telling, that, isn't it?
That's all you need to know. And then also today, Lonzo Ball's Instagram. He was playing. What does he go by now? It's not. I know it's not Puff Daddy. What does he go by now?
Diddy? It's just Diddy. Diddy. Yes. So they were,
on his Instagram, he was playing Diddy's "We Ain't Going Nowhere."
Right. Right. On his Amazon Echo. He's just showing the picture of his speaker. This league, this is something else. I mean, it's one thing to break down the games, but just the game within the game, the mental side, Will, this has got to be interesting to you, right? This league has got so much pettiness and so much inside stuff that we're all privy to. It's quite a thing. This is the reason why the NBA took over the Super Bowl week. It is so many storylines.
Before you even said it, I was going to say, when you finished talking, pettiness. It's unbelievable, the pettiness in this league, that guys are continuously trolling each other. Guys are poking fun at each, you know, I understand having the fun aspect of it. And that's what social media is about. But the one thing that players can't do, and especially right now, Kevin Durant cannot do, is troll people on social media, act the way you're acting. And then when somebody calls you out, tell them to grow up. You need to look in the mirror, my man. You need to grow up. And that's why people keep saying, oh, he's going to New York. He's going to New York. The media will eat him alive if he goes to New York.
Right.
Because regardless of social media and the way things are now, the New York media and the New York area is just a different animal, period.
So true. Absolutely true. Thanks so much for coming on the show, as always, Will.
Oh, I enjoy it, Jonathan. Thank you very much.
He is a four-time NBA champion, our friend Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago, with us here as you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us. Let's go to the hotline and say hello to a front office insider for ESPN. Also, you hear him on NBA Insiders Sunday nights on ESPN Radio. Here on ESPN 1000, as a matter of fact, Bobby Marks joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hi, Bobby.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
How's it?
You know what? Nothing's burning in Chicago yet. I know that the deal took place, but everything seems calm so far. What was your initial reaction to the Bulls-Wizards deal?
You know, I thought it was a basketball decision. You know, it wasn't a financial or cash drop or, you know, taking back contracts to help the team, you know, pay a luxury or offset the luxury tax. So, yeah, I mean, I think you look at your history in free agency and you weren't really going to go out and probably attract a guy this summer with $40+ million in room. So you get Otto Porter for the rest of this year. You got him for two more years. And, I think the key will be for him to, you know, stay healthy. You put him with, you know, Zach LaVine and the, at the two and the three in there. And, I think I'm probably a little more of a wait and see, but I had no issues with the deal, but especially that, you know, Parker, you were going to decline his option. And, we'll see what we would have seen what Bobby Portis would have cost you.
What did you think of Porter with the Wizards? Because, you know, that was their kind of big three. Porter was an up-and-coming player along with what they had with Wall and Beal. So what did you think of him as a Wizard?
I thought he was better when John Wall wasn't there. I thought, you know, him coming off the bench, you know, I thought he had some good moments when he came off the bench, but, you know, when you're paying a guy $25-26 million, you know, you're not paying a guy to come off, you know, come off the bench there. So yeah, he's battled some injuries the last, you know, last couple of years. So I think that's, as I said, if he's healthy, he gives you a big, you know, he's a big three, you know, as far as from a height standpoint and ability to shoot the ball. I think if you want to go small, you can put him at the four if you have to. And I thought he, you know, as I said, when, you know, when John went out of the lineup in, I guess, late December, I thought he played a lot better there.
Bobby Marks with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Bobby, I think that this move, it's not saying that Chicago was going to be a top three in the draft, but it definitely knocked you out of position because I think that a healthy, you know, locked-in Otto Porter will get you somewhere, what, sixth or seventh in the draft. Now, I guess that's still quality, but you're not tanking to go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just kind of let it play out and see where you're going to go. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with you know, Robin Lopez tomorrow. I would expect Robin to get a buyout if he's not traded by tomorrow afternoon. So that's one less player, and then you bring a minimum guy in. And, you know, it's based on what Coach Boylan wants to do with minutes. You know, there's certainly, you know, just because you get a guy like Otto Porter who can play 30-plus minutes a night doesn't mean you're going to play him there. So does it get him out of the top three or top four? Possibly. So I think you're kind of a little bit of a wait and see where – you know, how he kind of divvies up the minutes.
From the Wizards' standpoint, is this a rebuild?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a pretty much straight money. This is a cash or a contract dump here. Hey, I mean, they had $118 million in contracts next season, including John Wall, who was out until, right, you know, February, could be out for the whole year here. And I think they realize, as far as, you know, the group that built together, you know, they're kind of stuck on the treadmill here. So, you know, it'll be interesting what happens with, you know, Bradley Beal by, you know, probably not by tomorrow, but during the summer, because he's really their last, you know, he's really their big, you know, their big asset that they have left.
So pretty much from Portis' standpoint, because he's going to be restricted free agent, it's just kind of they just want to take a look and see if he's worth the extra cash, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get him for 3 months. He's on expiring, but you can qualify him, and he'll be a restricted free agent. So, you know, the Washington cleaned up their books a little bit. So I think a lot of it depends on what the price tag of, you know, Bobby Portis will be here. You know, the likelihood is they don't pick up that $20 million Jabari Parker option. I think Jabari sticks there for this year. I thought he would have been a buyout guy in Chicago if he made it past the deadline here. So, yeah, you get these guys kind of, it's almost like a three-month, you know, addition for both players.
I wish we had beers together. I just don't know the direction. I just don't, you can't tell me in the press that it's about being young and athletic and then make this move. It's almost like because Chicago cannot nail the big fish in free agency or even the B-list guy, they say, well, let's make this deal just to be able to have someone that can kind of help for the future, I guess. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I think, you know, if, you know, you, the likelihood is that you are going to miss out on free agent. Are you content winning 15 games again next year? You know, do you need to accelerate the rebuild here? I mean, if Otto Porter comes in here and is injured or doesn't play up to, you know, up to his contract, you know, there's going to be a lot of criticism around here. So they still got some flexibility this summer to kind of figure out if they can go out and maybe get a point guard. We'll see what they add in the draft here. But yeah, I mean, I talk about cap space all the time, and I say cap space is fool's gold, but there are certain ways you can use it, you know, through trades, through free agency, taking back contracts with draft picks here. So I think, you know, probably from the perspective of the front office, they're looking for an established wing to team up with Zach LaVine for the next few years here. And, you know, they didn't want to go out in free agency to kind of miss out again.
Bobby, as always, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us in Chicago.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, yo, Jay Wood, run that back. Give them the info they need.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood comes back tomorrow at 7 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. do we have another four-pack to give away, Felix?
We do. We have one more left.
Okay, caller 7, regular line, 312-332, ESPN, 332-3776. If you want to go to the Progressive International Motorcycle Show, February 15th to the 17th, or if you want to win these tickets for someone, we got a four-pack of tickets. It's going to be at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. If you want to go, it's the top international motorcycle show of the year taking place. The latest model from the top power sports manufacturers are all there. You can visit motorcycleshows.com, motorcycleshows.com. Caller 7. If the light lights up for 7, you're hooked up with tickets. Our way of saying thanks for listening to our program. Under the Hood weeknights right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So we've had, I think, a very successful NBA trade deadline show. One of the things that I do want to close with here regarding the NBA trade deadline is Kevin Durant. The one thing I'll never understand about this brooding athlete is a number of things. I just don't understand why he is so tortured as a player personally. I don't understand this. His press conference where he says he doesn't trust the media, the speculation about his free agency. See, when you don't commit long term, this is what happens. And when you don't close the door on the speculation, this is what happens. Fighting with eggs on Twitter, these invisible perceptions, the trolls. I just don't understand it. If he was in New York, where you're a hero when you win and you're the worst when you lose, it'd be a really difficult time for Kevin Durant. I want you to listen to Kevin Durant with his exchange with Ethan Strauss, who's covered the Warriors forever in the Bay Area. Listen.
We've noticed that you hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you usually talk.
Well, I feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like
it. Has anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that, and now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches, you rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
You're talking to the media.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you, because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
go
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
There's Kevin Durant, petty as hell with his White Sox cap, trying to tell everybody that, hey, you know what? No one cares about that. You know, it's very simple. Kevin Durant could be like what Kyrie Irving and so many others have said. Let's talk about free agency at the end of the year. But he won't close the door on it. He says he wants to play ball. That doesn't stop things. That doesn't stop the speculation. Free agency and the NBA is synonymous in the conversation. A lot of the stuff he said, I can understand. But here's the difference between LeBron James even, and Kevin Durant. LeBron will just stop the speculation. But Kevin is mired in the petty. Loves it. Loves the drama. This is a guy that fights with Twitter eggs, so he can't help himself. He loves the drama. Eden Strauss was on Levitar, says the media is pretty easy on Durant.
Look, I'm not saying that we're soft out here in the Bay, but we aren't really bringing the heat. They've won a lot of games. They've won championships. We're not just badgering them. It's generally, oh, how does it feel to win so much? Oh, pretty good. Okay. You know, there would be months in between somebody asking him about free agency, so it was utterly bizarre to take it in this direction.
Weird, but a brooding superstar, he'll just never understand. Yeah, it is about basketball, but it's also not about you being petty. Complete petty. And we thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to Chris Bleck, to Antonio Daniels, Will Perdue, and Bobby Marks. Show produced by Felix Reyes on the other side of the glass. So coming up on Saturday, I'll be on SiriusXM NBA Radio doing a post-game show after the Thunder and the Rockets. So if you're an NBA fan, if you have SiriusXM, that's where you can find me late Saturday night after that game is over. And then Sunday afternoon after the Sunday game of the week, whatever that is, I'll be on with Dari Noka right here on ESPN 1000 about 5:30 to 9 o'clock on Sunday. All right, so I hope that you can find me. If you forget all that, make sure you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. You never know when I put a Periscope up there for you guys to see the show or at least hear what I'm talking about, all right? So thanks so much for being part of our NBA trade deadline show. And don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download it to your device. That way you never miss an episode of Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. iTunes, SoundCloud, so many other places. Download the podcast.
I'm so hood!
On ESPN 1000.